latest show, starring Kenty and Jose.
Hello, this is Kenty, and here we have my father. He's going to tell a story, which I never even heard about, and it's about his childhood.
When I was 12 years old, I joined the Air Force, called the Ground Observers. It's part of the Air Force in 1954. My job was to get on a tower, and daytime we could say, there's a moldy motor. That meant two engines going north to south. At night, we'll say unidentified airplane, leaving west to east. Our code name was Quebec Lima 50 Black. And I did this for a year. We didn't get paid. And then over the years, I got a thing in the mail saying the government's going to give me a loan since I'm a veteran. And I told my oldest son, Ronald, I said, I was no veteran. And 30 years later, I looked at these little wings like the pilots get. And it said, United States Air Force Ground Observer. And I got my identification card. And I told my wife, Pat, said to her brother, he was a 30-year man, said, you know, you weren't in the Air Force. I said, oh, yes, I was. I got the same wings you do. And I was surprised.
So you really are a veteran?
I don't know. I'm going to write the government and find out.
So how many people were ground observers? Like, were your friends?
It was me and one friend, and we're 12. And the people ran it like 16, 18. And then there was an older adult that really took over. But they showed us what to do. We'd go up there when we had free time after school. Or if we're allowed to go up at nights, we'd go up there and do the ground observing.
And how did you find out about this program? Was it
a friend of mine told me.
Uh-huh.
It was at the Whittling School in War Grove.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then your friend said, hey, I want to join the ground observers.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Wow. He said, you can join. What do? Looking for airplanes. And this was in, I think, the end of the Korean War in 1954. I don't know where it ended, but it was that time, the war time.
Right, right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mr. Steffler.
Just call me Kenty. All my listeners call me Kenty.
Yeah. You don't know where
right.
I live.
Okay. Play to show listeners. I know I've recounted this story about my name. And here's my father to tell the ironic story about what my name was going to be. It's okay. Go on, Dad.
65, right?
64.
In 1964, we had this little baby boy number two. My wife wanted to name him Kevin. And I didn't really have a good Pinky Lee. I was going to call him. And, oh, you can't do that. And she said, Kevin, I said, well, when he was born, Kevins were all gay, queers, or whatever you call them then. And I said, I had a true friend I worked with, his name was Kenneth Subi. And she said, well, what are we going to call him? I said, we're going to call him Kenneth. And she said, why? I said, she knew Ken Subi. That's okay. What do we name? I said, well, his birthday's the 20th December. He's going to be a Christmas baby, maybe, because it was snowing when we took him to the hospital to have him. So we named him Noel. That's how this older man here got his name from his father.
But you should have called me Kevin.
No way.
It would be more appropriate. Oh, yeah.
If his name was Jack, I'd still love him.
I know. I think that's a funny story.
It's a true story.
It is a true story.
Yes, it is.
Right. When I say story, I don't mean false.
No.
Okay.
I never say anything false.
Right. I know. Okay.
Non-fiction.
It's nonfiction.
Yeah. What's that? It isn't true?
I don't know. Nonfiction.
It's a true story.
Fiction is false. Nonfiction is true. No, fiction is false. Nonfiction is true.
I like fiction. True or false?
Fiction is false. Nonfiction is true.
It's all true stories. I know how to tell bad stories, but this has always been a true story.
And you call Ken Subi.
Every year around the 20th or a little before Kenny's birthday, I call my friend Ken Subi, and he's 86, and he says, "How you doing? I know it's Kenneth's birthday. You're calling." And we shoot the breeze for a while, and we say goodbye to each other.
Right. And, you know, all these years, I thought I was named after a guy, a black guy named Kenny Robinson. And here is this guy, a World War II veteran named Kenneth Subi, who I've never met. I don't know what he looks like. I have to meet him before he dies.
Or I
probably. What?
Probably met him when you were a little baby.
When I was a baby. I probably never met him.
You've never met him.
Well, I have to meet him.
All right.
Because, I mean, you know, I'm named after him.
I think he gets on a computer. He can compute you.
Right.
Bye-bye. I got to call him. As far as I know, he's still living. I told him, your sisters make sure he keeps me, dies, let me know I'll be there for the funeral.
Right. So his sisters and stuff? Yeah. He's from the area?
He's from Homestown, Pennsylvania, outside of Tamaqua.
Huh, okay. So that's the story of my name.
Yes, it is.
Feeling sort of all run down and weary of the hurry of the town. Why don't you come with me for just a day? There's happiness not very far away. So hop in my car, come along and see how happy we are, and you'll find that heaven's not very far. It's 10 little miles from town. You'll open your eyes in the morning when the sun starts to rise, and discover that there's blue in the skies, 10 little miles from town. You'll find a stream where white lilies float, where you can dream in a rickety boat. So come for a day, lock your desk and put your worries away, and it's 10 to 1 that you'll want to stay, 10 little miles from town. In a meadow sweet with new mown hay, you'll be a barefoot boy for just a day. You'll say goodbye to all your cares and fears. 10 miles can take you back a dozen years. Hop in my car, come along and see how happy we are, and you'll find that heaven's not very far. It's 10 little miles from town. Our house is small, but it's pretty when the peach blossoms fall. We get music from the songbirds that call, 10 little miles from town. The fields, the hills are calling to you. They're filled with thrills, and if you only knew, there's something they hold that I know is lots more precious than gold. There's a reason why we never grow old, 10 little miles from town.
And Mrs. Santa Claus has positively identified the kidnappers as Martian.
Hi, kids, the Flatus Show listeners. We're going to have my brother tell a story about a close encounter of a whatever, third or fourth kind or something like that. Here's Ron.
So I go into shopping bag, okay? So I get out of the truck. I'm going into, I was in Lowe's. That's right. I was first in Lowe's. I get the Lowe's. I get out of the truck, and I see these, there's these three, they look like stars in the sky, but they were like shaped like one here, one there. They're like in a triangle pattern.
Right.
But there was clouds. There was no stars. You couldn't see any stars. So I'm standing in a parking lot, and I'm looking at these stars, right? So I'm standing there, and I'm the only guy in the parking lot looking up. Everybody else is going, and I'm like, don't you see there's like these three big stars there? So that's what I figured they were. They're stars. So I go into the Lowe's. I'm in there for like 45 minutes. But when I came out, they were in the exact same spot, the exact same place, and they're still lined up.
You expect that if there's stars.
Yeah, but usually they move, you know, because the Earth.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they would move in 45 minutes. You'd see like a... They'd be here, right, shift.
Right.
So I drove over to a shopping bag, and the way I was going, I could kind of see the those stars a little bit, right? So I get the shopping bag parking lot, and I get out of the truck. I look, and, you know, the stars are still there. So I go into shopping bag. I'm in there for, you know, half hour or whatever. Come out of shopping bag, and then the stars, they were still in the same spot. So I'm walking towards my truck, and I'm looking up, and nobody else is even paying attention to them. And then I see the one star on the right-hand side start, like, moving around in a circle. And then the other one on the other side starts moving around in a circle. And then the other one, like, the one on the left started to, like, drift away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, man, this is, you know, really strange. So, maybe that was before I went in shopping back. And when I came out, then they were gone. They weren't there at all. They were completely gone. Not one star. It was just clouds again.
Wow.
So then I found out that over in Bucks County, people had seen stuff in the sky that night.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It was on the news.
What were they saying?
They saw lights in the sky.
Wow. Well, you know, I've talked about this in the later shows. John and I were walking in the Fenway with the dogs one night. And I was looking up in the sky towards Boston, where the harbor is, right? And there were these stars. And it's like, I thought, like, they're doing something funny, right? They're like, something was caught my attention. Well,
yeah,
they're like going like this way, that way. They're like moving all over the place. Then they go into a circle and they go like this. And then they all just disappeared.
Away.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were the only one looking at it.
John and I both, I saw it and I said, John, look at that. And we were both looking at it.
Yes.
We both saw it. I mean, stars don't go around in a circle.
No, just like stars
and then
don't stay in
disappear.
One spot, you know, yeah. Forever.
It was weird.
That's really
weird. Right. Stars don't move like I saw.
Okay.
How long was that?
It was when we were in Boston. Okay, now, Mom, tell the story about what you saw over the house when we were kids. Okay?
Yeah, let's see now. How is it?
You saw
it. Yeah, I was just checking.
It was in our back room, right?
Yeah, yous were sleeping. Yous were in bed sleeping. And I just went to look out the blind. So I lifted the blind up, and this big yellow egg was, like, up in the sky. It was, like, real high. And I was, like, stunfounded, so I, like, was watching it. And I thought, oh, my gosh, and it was, like, coming down. And it came down and down real slow, and it just, like, sunk into the ground. And so then I got scared.
Didn't it go, like, into the house? Like,
it was at
how
the
far
house.
Away?
It was the house behind us.
Yeah.
And it was, like, in the yard.
Yeah.
And it came down, like, it almost looked like through the trees and all.
Right.
And it just, like, sunk into the ground. And so I went and woke up the father. And I'm like, there was this big light. It was like that color, like a not white, but
right.
Like a yellowish,
yeah,
like
yellowish off, white,
like yellowish white.
It was the shape of an egg.
Yeah, it was like just like the shape of an egg.
Right.
And it was real big.
Right.
And I was like stunfounded with it, you know, instead of like, you know, but then after it sunk into the ground, I got scared.
Right.
And then that's when I went in and slept with you.
Remember when we saw a handprint?
Yeah, the handprint.
Okay, so now this is at Lincoln Avenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a ghost story. So what happened with the handprint?
Well, we were eating. Dawn was and Ed were on vacation. They were on vacation. and we were eating, and we had the placemats. And
placemats.
Yeah, so when we were done eating, and Ron went downstairs, and he was, I was cleaning up. So I wiped the placemats off and wiped the table off and all cleared up. And when I came back, there was this handprint on the placemat. And it looked kind of like, if you take newspaper, like black print.
Looked and like a little kid who rubbed their hand on a newspaper.
Newspaper.
And like stuck their hand down and left like a handprint.
Right.
On the vinyl placemat.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Mom called me up. She says, Ron, come up, you gotta see this. So I came up and I'm looking at it. And I said,
take pictures of it?
No, we didn't.
I said, oh, Mom, come on. It's probably the way you, the side of your hand on the newspaper. So we kept trying to, like, see if we could make it.
We didn't actually have any newspaper around.
I was trying to come up with a logical explanation.
Right.
I said, oh, maybe you got, like, newsprint on the side of your hand. You leaned on the mat and it left this design.
Right.
But no matter how you did it, it was a handprint. I mean, it had five fingers.
Yeah, it almost looked like this. Like as if some kid, like...
It looked like this.
Like that.
Much smaller.
Right.
Yeah. And then, what was it? I didn't wipe it.
You washed it off.
Oh, I wiped it. And to see if it wiped off, then it wiped off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it wipe off?
Yeah.
So didn't you see handprints on a car, too?
Wait. So continue on. So then you found out what afterwards?
Then we found out that Don was going to have a baby.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it was, he was already.
Right.
Probably.
So what do you think? Did you also smell tobacco?
Oh, yeah. That was the smoker.
That cigarette smoker. Cigarette man. I lived at Lincoln Avenue.
Yeah, and the smelly socks.
Yeah.
Smelly socks.
Yeah.
So you just start smelling bad socks.
Bad socks.
And cigarette odor.
Yeah.
Just like randomly.
Randomly.
In all the different parts of the house. Like it wouldn't be one specific area.
Right.
Like the upstairs in a bedroom or down in the basement.
And somebody used to tuck Eddie in.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the one time Eddie was sleeping in the little bassinet.
Yeah.
And I was in the kitchen and...
I was at work.
We were at work.
Yeah, we were all working.
Yeah, and I went in to check on him.
And
I had, like, thrown the blanket, like, up over him.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in to check on him, and it was all, like, tucked in around him. It was all, like...
All tucked in.
And I'm like, okay. You know? How did that happen?
Right.
Because I just, like, laid it a little bit over him. He was, like, you know, laying on his side.
Right.
Folded the washcloth there, right?
It would be like folded.
Yeah.
That was.
Now, Ron, you said you saw a woman.
Well, I caught a glimpse of something. I didn't stay around too long to find out what it was. I went to walk over to go up the steps.
Yeah.
Because I was down in the basement, so I went to walk. Like I always do. Got up off the sofa and I went to go like up the steps and I went to flick on the light. And the moment I looked up the steps, it looked like somebody was at the top of the steps. So I just kind of went, okay, I'm not going up the steps right now. And I went back to the sofa and sat there a few minutes. And then I got brave enough, and I went and I looked, and there was
nothing. Right. So at that point.
When Eddie was little, he would come down, and he'd go over to the bottom of the steps, and he'd go point up and say, Mom, 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 Mom. And I'd look at it, and I'd say, no, there's no Mom, Mom up there, kid.
But he may have seen a ghost or whatever.
But, yeah, it looked like a woman type thing.
Right.
Yeah,
now, when you were a baby, a kid, what did you see?
Oh, I saw like a figure with a
pioneer woman.
Like a pioneer woman. She had a hood, like a hood over.
A bonnet.
Oh yeah,
not a bonnet. It was like a hood.
A hood.
Like a hooded. She was like in a drape.
Yeah.
With a hooded.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. I mean, I have no idea. Was standing at the bottom of my bed.
A hooded person.
Person. Yeah, I was standing at the bottom of my bed. Like, you would think
like a monk?
Like a monk or a pioneer or something like, you know, like a...
Casey,
you're like
40?
You know, like...
I was
a monk, I guess.
Like a monk?
Like a monk, because it was like
a... Was it a robe?
Oh, okay, so you're...
Yeah, it was like, you know, draped like that with a hood.
Yeah.
You
know, why, I didn't know that. I always thought it was a pioneer woman.
Well, it wasn't actually. It was just. It was like a hooded.
Because Lila saw a monk at the foot of her bed.
Oh, yeah, but you were telling me.
Right.
Yeah, it was definitely a hooded.
You know, you don't.
Like a rat. And a hood. And I woke up and I started to cry, you know, and the person just So I stood there at the bottom of my bed, and then I was remember like yelling out for Mom.
Yeah.
And I'd say, you know, mommy, and it seemed like it took forever.
Right.
And then finally, you know, she turned the light on, and of course the person went.
That, I'll tell you, that back
but then
room
after that,
always gave me the creeps.
After that, I always felt like I was being watched.
I don't know if it would have given me the creeps if I wouldn't have known Mom's story, though.
Yeah.
What was that?
It may not have given me the creeps if I wouldn't have known
her story.
Right. But that in the basement always gave me the creeps in Mam's house.
Actually,
in the backyard.
When I went to see Mam's house when it was for sale, none of that gave me the creeps, even the basement.
What?
I think when I went to visit,
we couldn't get into the bees.
Right, I know.
That was strange.
What was that?
And Ken, you had that strange thing with you and Jim Crowler when Mam died in the
Oh my God! Yeah, when she died,
Ron and I were attacked by bees.
We couldn't go in the front door. We had to go to
when?
When Mam died, the night she died.
The night she died, we went to go. Daughter and I went to go to the house.
To get
something. And
wasn't that after he died? Wasn't that when we
before
left?
After
yeah.
he died?
This was after Mam died. We were still living there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you said you had Ron take me back to Mam's, and you said go back to Mam's and get something, and then we were meeting her somewhere. It was just you and me.
Right, yeah, it was just us.
Yeah.
Right, because you were all at the hospital.
Yeah.
And I was out with Jim Crowther, and we went to Mam's house.
Before
I knew anything happened, and the house was like somebody scrubbed it clean. Everything was bright and shiny, like brand new.
Yeah.
And Jim Crowther said that, too. So I was like, boy, did you do something in here? I'm like, did you put fresh paint on? And I'm like, no. And then we're sitting there. I think you called.
Yeah.
Then you called at that time.
Yeah.
Because Dawn and I went to go.
Once we got into the house.
But that was at nighttime, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was nighttime.
And you were attacked by bees at night?
It was December.
Yeah, it was December.
Right.
It was at night.
There were hornets.
And they were hornets, and they were, like, swarming the house.
They were swarming front door.
The front door.
You couldn't get in the front door.
There had been over 20 of them.
Yeah, we went to go.
I didn't know that.
We went to go in the front door, and there were all these bees all over, around the front door.
Right, it was actually the New Year, wasn't it?
It was the 30th.
Yeah, the 30th, right.
So we were like, oh, my God, we can't get in the house. Because there's all these bees. We're like, well, yeah, how can there be bees in December?
Yeah,
right.
At night.
We ended up having to go around the back of the house and came in through the back door.
Yeah.
To get in.
I wonder what was why the bees were there.
And that was weird.
Very strange.
Really weird.
But Ron has a good thing for your podcast.
Okay.
Good story.
What's another story?
The year I had my car accident. Okay. The truck accident.
This is the one when these guys were up our place.
Yeah, but months before that. It was February, okay? Mm-hmm. The same road I had my accident on, Edgehill Road, okay? But months before that, was February. It was right around the time that Buddy died, my dog.
Right, okay.
He was sick. And
He had seizures.
Yeah, and then he had to get operated on. But it was right around that time, it was a morning, and I was driving from Dawn's house over to the garage. So I'm driving over Edgehill Road. And I cross Edgehill and Susquehanna. And as soon as I cross over Edgehill and Susquehanna, on the right-hand side, there's this priest in this old outfit. He's like all white looking. And he's got this big hat on. And he's like this old, like the old-fashioned looking priest. And he's standing there. As a matter of fact, I saw him. I was at the red light and I saw him as I was getting ready to cross over. And he was looking at me. He was looking at, and I'm thinking, who's that? Why's that guy standing? I mean, you know, it's February. It's cold. And as I'm driving by him, I'm like looking because he caught my attention.
Right.
First, the thing that caught the most of his attention was his big hat he had on.
All right.
So I go by, and he's got this big floppy hat. And I'm looking at him. He's looking at me, and he's all pale looking. It's not like he's like an old man.
Right.
Well, you know, as soon as I drove past him, I looked in my rearview mirror, and he wasn't there. He was gone.
Right near Mrs. Hunsinger's house.
Yeah.
That was near Mrs. Hunsinger's house?
Down the street from Hunsinger's house.
Okay. Sean was telling me, okay, the thing at the haunted house, remember the haunted house? Okay, continue going, because I have to tell you something.
All right. So then, a couple nights later, I'm at the bar I was going to, right? And this guy comes into the bar that I've never, ever seen before. Now, this bar is mostly...
And you go to this bar often.
Oh, I went every day.
Right.
It was like a club. You know everybody, you know. Even if you didn't go and drink a lot.
Right, it's like Cheers.
But Cheers, right. Yeah. you know, hey, Norm. Yeah. So I go in. I'm sitting there one night, and it's like 9 o'clock at night.
You're not going to eat it now, are you?
And this black man comes in. Now, this is a white bar. This black guy comes in, and he's dressed in like a bright orange suit with this little big hat, and he sits right down next to me.
With a big hat.
Yeah. Now, he's the opposite of what I saw on Edge Hill Road.
Right.
So he sits down next to me, but nobody else seems to really notice him. But he's there. Yeah. And he starts talking to me, and he's talking to me like he knows me. And he's like, oh, buddy, how you doing? What's going on? And he's talking to me in a way as if he's, like, helping me, like, with my troubles in my life. And we're talking about stuff, that, like, really deep stuff. And he's an, I never saw this guy before.
And black people generally don't go
to this bar. Oh, not there, no. So, and nobody seems to really notice him. I mean, he got a drink and stuff, but nobody's, like, paying any attention to him. But he's got this bright suit on and his hat, which I noticed the hat like I did with the priest.
Right.
And I'm thinking, the whole, you know, this is strange. Because it was like a couple days later that Buddy died.
Right.
It was February, right around Valentine's Day.
Right.
And so this guy, we start this talk, he starts telling me about, like, all these things about how, you know, you got to let life be this way. And that. He's, like, very consoling.
Right.
And then he's like, well, pal, you know, I'll see you later. And he's, like, puts his arm on me, he's patting my shoulder, and off he goes. And I'm like, thinking, oh, nobody sees this guy, right? Oh. So the next day, I said to one of the bartenders, I said, you saw that guy I was with last night, right?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we saw him, but we never, you know, we've seen him in here like maybe once before, but a long, long time ago.
I know.
And it was like, strange. But then it was months later, it was Edge Hill Road.
Yeah.
That it was not that area, but it wasn't far from there. That was that road that I had the accident on.
Okay.
But that priest, he was looking right at me, and as I drove by him, his head turned, and we made eye contact. And as soon as I looked in my rearview mirror and the side mirror, he was gone. And I'm like, what the heck? He stood out because he was all...
I could tell you something, but I think it would scare you, so I won't.
Well, no, tell me if it solves my...
I'll tell you, Sherry told Aunt Evelyn that... She became Catholic. She started going Catholic.
Sherry became a Catholic?
Yeah, because she was in Kavanaugh. Well, she had a lot of operations.
Sherry.
She was really sick. Okay. And she said this priest came to her in the hospital, but nobody ever saw him. And he came to her, and he helped her out, and he talked to her, and he told her she was going to be all right, and everything. And he was like, he consulted, you know, she made her feel good.
Yeah.
And nobody knew of any priest coming in or anything.
Really?
So because she... I guess she came through the operations and all.
Yeah.
She now goes to the Catholic Church.
Well, I think mine's gonna be a little scarier.
Okay. Yeah, let's hear it.
And I don't really know, but just odd, is that when we had the haunted house, John, yes. Remember that night we had the haunted house in Mary? Were you there in the haunted house when we had that big problem? Like, the night. What happened? We were working on Hunsicker's, right?
Yeah.
And it was Mary and Sean and me and, you know, everybody.
You were working at Hunsicker's house.
We were working at Hunsicker's, getting ready for it. And the adults, because there were, like, we were working for, like, Music Theater of Abington. So Mrs. Hunsicker and the adults were at the in-flight.
Okay.
And we were working on the house. And there's a ghost named Katie. Let me just say, for later show listeners, this is what Sean... talked about, so this is a repeat. So what happened is we were walking, and these two kids come up, and they're like, hey, we'd like to be part of the Haunted Woods, you know, do your house. And for some reason, you know, like, they just stood outside the gate, and then Sean invited them in. They wouldn't come into the house. And so they said, do you really want to have a haunted house? And they start telling us this story. So then we invite them into the house. They tell us this story. This kid says, when my grandfather left Italy, there's this guy followed him, dressed in black, head to toe, and wore a fedora, like a hat.
That's what I saw.
Okay?
Yeah.
And apparently it was the devil, that's what they said. But it followed the grandfather across the ocean, and then the grandfather died and followed his father. And apparently when the father dies, he's going to follow the firstborn of that family. But what he was saying is he wanted to get rid of it, and that's what he said. He said he wanted to get rid of it. So at that moment, Mary said, said, oh, I think there's something weird about these kids. So he took Sean into the Hunziker's kitchen. And then what happened is I heard the scream. And Mary comes running out, and she runs towards the door, and it looks like somebody has, like, grabbed her by her waist and stopped her. So we find out is that she's in the kitchen, and she feels this evil presence looking in through those windows all around.
Yeah.
And she looks at the clown thing that was hanging on the wall, and there's blood coming out of its eyes.
Oh, my God.
So we get Mary out, and at that moment, Jimmy Bracken, Sean's older brother, comes by. We say, just get Mary out of here. Right after that, the adults come back from the in-flight, Mrs. Hunziker and them, and one of them, Lynn, she gets out of the car, she goes, what's wrong? Katie tapped me on the shoulder and said there was something going on in the house.
Oh my God.
So we're like, what? So we go in, and then they say, there's this evil presence in the yard. We have to get rid of it. There's an evil presence in the house. So there's a clown picture, apparently. It was this evil vortex.
What was the
evil
clown picture?
It was the evilest thing. Sean had it in his room for years. It was really scary. Somebody made embroidery of his clown picture, and it was like this, like flames coming out of his head, and his like black eyes, and his black mouth. Right, remember it?
Yeah, it was evil looking.
So Sue Doherty, she took it, and we don't even know what happened to it. She got rid of it. So Lynn and Sheila, remember Sheila the vampire?
Yeah,
and Sean, they go out in the yard and they're like trying to like locate the evil. And there's these dummies. We had these dummies tied up in the trees outside. Well, one, there's three of them. One is spinning around like this. And Lynn, she's like looking for the evil. And she falls on her knees. Her eyes roll back up on her head. And this deep voice comes out. And Sheila's like putting stuff. I don't know what happened because I wasn't out there, but this was Sean.
Yeah,
it was
a Sean.
And then it was gone, you know.
Oh my God.
Jeez.
So
well, that place was really.
Fact that you saw these people with the big hats. What kind of hat was it? Like.
Well, it was one of those hats like you see like on those priests that have like. Remember, like follow Guido Sarducci?
Yeah.
A hat like that.
And on the black guy too?
No, he just had a regular dress hat, but it was like. You know, like the
it was unusual.
Well, that's what caught my attention with the, other than the guy at the light was standing out there and his
right.
A priest.
Right. With the pale face.
He was an older guy, but he was dressed like Father Guido Sarducci.
Right. Okay. With his long.
Long robe. But he was a priest.
Right.
Because you could see him. But he was an old guy. He looked like he was an.
Why would he be standing at the edge? There's no church around there.
No, he was standing on a sidewalk, and he was just standing there, and I was at the light, and I saw him, and he was, like, looking my way, and I'm thinking, first I saw the hat.
Right.
Because he's got, who
wears
Guido
hat?
Sarducci.
Right.
So, when I went across.
It's like a 19th century priest.
Right. When I drove across the Susquehanna, as I was passing him, because I was watching him, and I'm like, there's people around driving. I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and we like made eye contact, and I'm like this. And then I turned my head, and I looked up in the mirror, and I had to go a little bit further before I could see. But not much further. And he wasn't in the mirror here, and when I looked in the side mirror, but he was on the sidewalk, so he couldn't have
crossed or
gone anywhere, I would have seen him. And there was no weeds behind him.
Yeah, because if he crossed, you would have seen him in your rear view
right,
mirror.
Right, I would have seen him, because he was like all, he was like stood out.
Right.
And he wasn't evil looking.
Right.
He was just unusual looking, and he was like looking at me. And it was like a couple nights later, the other guy came in, and then as soon as he walked through the door, what it caught my eye was his bright hat.
Right.
It matched his suit, but he was like all like everything on him was like I forget what
neon.
Color it was. Like neon.
Right.
And then he sat down in the stool next to me, and he came in and he like didn't look around. He just came in and like came over. And sat next to me.
Huh.
And then he started talking about... The way he was talking was like he knew me.
Right.
But I had a man come in to do hair.
Yeah.
And he was an older man.
Well, the black guy wasn't older. He was older than me, but not...
Right. So what happened to the guy with you?
Well, he came in to get his hair cut. An elderly man.
Yeah.
And that's when we were going through a lot of problems. We were hunters and, they had died.
Right.
Yeah. And I was going through a lot of problems, so anyway, he came in and sat down in my chair, and I was doing his hair, and he says to me, I feel you had a lot of problems.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, usually you don't talk to me.
And then the other guy.
Right.
So, I said, yeah, I said right now, you know, going through a lot
of things in my family
and everything. I said, it's a little hard.
Right.
And he goes, he says, yeah, he says, I can tell. So, and then he says to me, he says, well, he says, you know, sometimes like just talking to people, you know, helps, he says. But, you know, he says, I've helped a lot of people before, just, you know, just talking. And he said, but he says, if you want to help yourself, he said, go and get this book. It's called The Child Within.
Right.
And he said, you know, read it. And he said, and it will help you to understand yourself and help you through these problems.
Right.
So he said, I said, Tom, well, where do you get the book? He goes, oh, anywhere will have the book. So I finished him up, you know, and he shook my hand and he left. So I went to the bookstores and they said, oh, that's outdated.
Really?
Yeah. They, there's, you know.
It's out of print.
Out of print. Because I said that, you know, the man told me they'd just go anywhere and get it.
Right.
And so I looked and I looked and I looked, and I think it was, what, about 6 years or so?
Yeah. Never found it?
Yeah, we did. Remember when I was in the store in Jenkintown when they had that little store on the corner? We went in there with the herbs and... you were with me. And I found the book in there.
Really? Wow.
But it was like 6 or 7 years later.
Right. And I want to ask you, Dawn, about what happened to you and Mark and Michelle
and
Huntsucker House.
The thing was, is when we, after that, there's that incident,
yeah,
is I came back to the house, and I remember there being a book on the shelf, an angel book.
That's right.
And Dawn had an angel book, so I looked up this book, all the stuff on the angels.
Right.
And it said about how guardian angels come to you.
Yeah.
And that they can come in certain forms and shapes and how they get your attention.
Yeah.
So I was telling Dawn the one day about this angel book and that I, you know, looked at, because I came home and I knew right to go to this angel book. So I looked in it, and I'm like, oh, maybe it was my guardian angel.
Yeah.
But Dawn said she never had an angel book.
What?
Never had an angel book.
So you looked at an angel book?
Yeah.
Apparently there was, one appeared downstairs, but I never had an angel book.
Because I said to her, you know the angel book downstairs. And she's like,
we never found it again after that.
I don't know where it is.
I don't know either. I've never seen it since we moved.
An angel book. So did it say anything about describing the angel, like bright orange, like this?
Well, it says, like, it had, it had stories in there about how, like, a lady was going up the escalator one time with her kids, and as she was going to go up, she had one kid in her arm, and the other kid, she accidentally, like, lost his hand. She had, like, a little kid holding his hand. She was holding one, and when she went up the escalator, she lost this kid's hand, and the escalator kept going. And a man came up and picked up the kid and stood behind her, and he said, oh, it's okay, ma'am, I got him, he's safe. And when they got to the top of the escalator, he put the kid down, and he said to her, you know, he'll be fine. And when she turned around, like she went to walk, she turned around to thank him, and he was gone.
His wings went.
So he was, like, disappeared. But they were saying how, like, when they're in danger, you know, like your guardian angel will, like, come to you. And because I remember going home, like, after the, I saw the guy, the black guy.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily believe in the guardian angel, right? Or before that?
No, I for whatever reason, I remember thinking to myself, there's something weird about this guy coming into the bar.
Right. But who
and
was
then
that
I remembered
priest?
The guardian angel book. I came home and I was downstairs and I looked.
You knew about this guardian angel book.
Yeah,
it was like,
I never had a guardian angel.
And I was telling Dawn about it just recently.
Yeah,
and she's like, we
I'm
never
looking,
had a guardian
I know,
angel
I'm like,
book.
What angel book?
Was it
He's
Ed's?
Like, the guardian. No, Ed wouldn't have had that. I'm like, what guardian angel book? He's like, it's on your bookshelf. I'm like, we didn't have a guardian angel book.
Yeah, I forgot. I wanted to let you know that.
Yeah. Okay, so what happened? Remember, you were in the Huntsucker house.
I was in the Huntsucker house.
This is where the whole house was.
Right, it was Mark and Michelle and myself, and we were, it was later, you know, you were out, I guess, and Mom was out or working. It was dark, it was nighttime, and we were upstairs in the bedroom that where Mom's up.
The third floor.
The third floor, one of the bedroom in the third floor.
Yeah.
And this is with the Ouija.
Right.
And Michelle and I decided we would do the Ouija because we always had pretty good energy when we would do the Ouija.
Right.
So we started asking questions because, you know, there was all the talk about Katie.
Right,
so we
right.
wanted to see if there was something there. And we started to get, you know, movement on the Ouija board, and we were asking questions if it was Katie, and it came up and it went to no. So we asked who it was. Or if I think we asked whether it was a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And it spelled out boy.
Mm-hmm.
So we asked, I forget, did we ask its age or something like that? Anyway, it ended up to be a young boy. It started to like move around a lot, like it was confused, like it
right.
didn't know, you know? Right. And then we were asking a couple different questions, but all of a sudden, like, Michelle and I just started like crying.
Really?
And we had this really weird, like, not like a pleasant sensation. It was a frightful, kind of scary feeling.
Right.
That it was not, we shouldn't be there.
Right.
So Mark was there, and he's like, he even was like shocked that we like just started crying out of like the blue.
Right.
And I said to Michelle, we have to get out of here. And she's like, we have to get out of here. She's like, we like threw the Ouija board down. And we went, and as we were running down the steps, we went to run out the front door, and then, like, something, like, stopped us from running out the front door, so we ran down, like, those butler steps, like, the back steps.
Yeah.
Out into the kitchen, and we went out the back door, and, like, going out the back, we just felt, like, this really bad presence, and we just, like, left.
Wow.
The property.
Now, this is way after that, the haunted house.
Oh, yeah, this was, well, we didn't live there more than a year.
Right.
So it was only within that year that we lived
there. It was less
there.
Than a year.
Yeah.
It was like 8 months.
Yeah. So it was during that time, and it was just really weird. And then the other occurrence that happened at Mrs.
And somebody wouldn't let you get out the front door?
And something just told us not to go out the front door, because I remember Michelle and I saying, we can't go out the front door, we can't go out the front door, we got to go out the back.
Really?
Yeah, so I don't know what it was or why we had that feeling, but it was just something that we just, it wasn't, for whatever reason.
So how, when did you get out, when you got out of the house, where'd you go?
We just jumped in Mark's car and left, and I said, you know, I knew she'd be home much later and you would be home later, and I said, I'm not going back until somebody's there.
Right.
Because, you know, nobody was there. Mary may have been there. She may have been in a room. I don't know, you know, if anybody or even Mrs. Hunsaker was there.
Well, when I was there, you know, I slept in the other room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the door was closed. And many times the cat would be on my bed and the door would just open up.
Right, right. And the cat would run out.
The
remember?
Cat would, like,
Jennifer would
look,
run out.
And then just, you know.
Well, that happened when, remember, I slept in that middle section there.
Right.
And Felicia, she was just a kitten.
Right.
And she used to sleep on the bed with me because I wanted to train her to, like, sleep up with me.
Right.
And the one night, she was up on my chest, and all of a sudden, like, she crouched down like she saw something.
Right.
Well, you know, with kittens, it can be anything.
Right.
And she, like, got off my, like, my chest, and she started creeping down the bottom of the bed, and she was, like, looking, like, real intent into, like, you know how that Eve, like, the ceiling dropped down?
Right.
Into the corner. Well, in the corner, I saw a strip of light into the corner of the wall. And I thought, oh, I guess it's just a reflection from outside. Maybe she sees something outside. Well, just as I was, now it's dark, just as I was, like, focusing on that strip, my dresser drawers started opening and closing one at a time. And the cat was, like, frozen.
What?
And I was, like, trying to scream to get Mom. And, you know, like, those scary movies where, like, you see people yeah. screaming, like, nothing's coming out? And I'm trying to, like, reach for the light to turn the light on. And it was, like, a bad movie. It's, like, I couldn't get the light. Nothing was coming out.
I
didn't know
that.
And then finally, as I was, like, Mom, and I went, and just as I turned the light, and I yelled, Mom, she came out. And it stopped.
The drawers were opening up?
Slowly, one at a time. They were slowly opening. And the cat was just, like, before that ever happened, Felicia must have sensed something. Because the first thing was this light that was in the corner. And it was the freakiest thing. I mean, and I just didn't have a heart attack. But it was like, one of those movies, you know, you're like, it's coming out. And I see it, you know, because there was the light
right.
from the outside.
Right.
You know, you had to, I mean, we were on a major road. I mean,
right.
you know, there was light. So it was, like, the freakiest thing.
Right.
It sounded like when I started yelling, and I was just standing there watching it, you know, through the window.
Right.
With the, you know, with the blind. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me. I was like, oh, my God, suppose, like, it's an alien.
Right.
You know, and then I thought, maybe I would have called the Navy base.
Right.
And find out, like, you know, but then you were kind of, like, frozen,
like,
there.
Frozen, right. yeah.
Like, to look at it.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you think to yourself, like, oh my, you know,
yeah.
you get afraid, but you're still like.
And I remember thinking, like, I'm calling her, and she's not answering. Like, you know, like, where is she? And then, you know, and then as soon as she came out the door, it stopped. And then I was able to turn the light on. It was like I was able to reach the light the same time she came out the door, and that stopped.
Yeah, I remember you upset.
I know.
I know. I thought, what? What's the matter? You know, I ran in there.
Did you hear her screaming?
Well, I did. You know, I heard her, you know, she yelled out, and I'm like, I'm right, you know, right here. Like,
yeah.
And you're like,
oh, that is horrible.
I didn't know that.
It was like,
my God,
it was horrible.
That's scary.
So that was like probably, I think, the only things that happened at Mrs. Hunsiger's. That was, oh, and then the candle. Mark had bought me that a candle. It was in the shape of a, like a Greek goddess, and it held a not a tea light, but a votive inside.
Right.
And we were back there at the, you know, in the room there at the house, and we were talking to this and that. I think Michelle was there, and Skip may have been there, and me and Mark, and we were up in my little room, and we were just talking. Karen may have been there. We were just talking. Next thing you know, we were getting ready to leave, and somebody said, oh, you better turn out, put the candle out. And I'm like, I didn't light a candle. Well, here, the candle in this Greek goddess thing was lit.
Really?
And nobody lit the candle. I mean, the room, Ken, was what? 3 feet by 3 feet?
Yeah, right. It wasn't very big.
So, like, it's not like somebody could have lit it and you wouldn't see it.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was basically my bed, the dresser, and that was it.
Right, it's very small.
Right, very small. So, and that was it, and then...
It was like 6 foot by...
Yeah,
like,
maybe it was six foot, but it was tiny.
It was more than 3 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. It was the hallway between two bedrooms.
Right, it was the hallway between two bedrooms.
Which part of it was Mrs. Hunsiger's wardrobe.
Right, right, right.
So, I didn't even have all of that space.
Right.
So, and that was the only other thing that happened.
Never mind. That's right. I forgot something. I saw Joan's mom at Derek's graduation because she had passed away. And Derek had his graduation, and everybody was out back. And I was, you know, we had all been divorced.
Right.
And her mom had passed away. So I went into the bathroom. I came in the house. It was summertime. It was like June, you know. And, you know, it's late, so it's like 8:30 at night, it's starting to get dark. And everybody's outside, they're all sitting out there in the backyard, and I went upstairs to go to the bathroom. So I go into the bathroom, you remember Joan's house.
Right.
I went into the bathroom, and I, you know, went to the bathroom, washed my hands. Now, when I opened the door, there was no lights on in the house, because, you know, we hadn't been in there, so everything was dark. So as soon as I opened the bathroom door, the only light on was the light behind me. Mm-hmm. Well, when it illuminated the hallway, this thing was walking from where Joan's mom's bedroom was.
Thing?
Yeah, well, you couldn't determine exactly what it was. It was like this misty-looking black, like, it was like more misty-looking.
Right.
But it was shaped like a person.
Right.
But without any, like, features.
No recognition. No features.
But it was coming towards me.
Yeah.
Down this hallway, because her bedroom was, like, here, and you could see it.
Right.
So I closed the bathroom door real quick, and I went to go holler out the bathroom window to say, right. Could somebody get... And then I felt like foolish.
Right.
I'm thinking, oh, I can't do that. You know, they're gonna think I'm nuts. So when I opened up the bed, when I opened up the door,
yeah,
there was nothing there. So I ran down the steps real quick.
Right, right.
And then I went outside, and then later on I was telling Nancy, Joan's sister, about it.
Right.
And, you know, we said, oh, you know, it must have been... Because it was coming from her mom's bedroom. It was coming, like, down the hall. So we just assumed it was probably her mom.
Well, you know, when we were at Aunt Evelyn's, Aunt Eleanor's house?
Yeah.
Everybody was in the basement. I, for some reason, I was up on, the top floor.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
And I was looking through some stuff, and all of a sudden, I got the creepiest feeling from Grandpa Leopold's room, that room at the end of the hall.
Yeah.
It was like, I get this feeling I was being watched. And I turn around, oh!
Sorry.
Jerk.
I was just trying to get by.
Oh, you're just trying to get by?
Yeah, yeah.
Scared the hell out of me.
Sorry.
Okay. you're not really a jerk. You know I love you.
You're only saying that because we're on tape.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Yeah. I know how it goes.
So I saw this figure standing there. I was like, I ran down and no one was in the house. I was like, on the second floor. No one was there. They're all in the basement.
Oh.
Everybody was in the basement except me. You know? It was crazy.
Strange.
Yeah.
I'm coming, Eddie.
Okay, so there you go. Do you have any ghost stories, Ed?
Did Don tell you the stories from the the Lincoln Avenue house?
The handprints and stuff?
The handprints.
Yeah. Did you see anything, though? Did you witness anything?
No.
No?
No, I don't lend a lot of credence to that.
Okay.
So.
But, okay, so you have had no supernatural experiences? Unexplained?
No.
Guardian angels, that sort of thing, yeah.
No.
So we have your skeptic here.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm a skeptic, too, but at the same time, I know what I've experienced. So. Until I can explain it. So anyway, yeah. So there you go, Flight of Show listeners. Ghost stories.
You've been listening to The Flight of Show. You can reach me at flightofshow@gmail.com or come by and visit my website at theflightofshow.com. Thank you for listening.